Blog Talk Radio.
I tell you,
there's a lady. There's a lady in the man's bathroom. Look at that. There is a woman in the man's gun right here in Baltimore.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Pro Wrestling Flashback. I am Sinbad, and I am, of course, joined by Katrier, who I haven't talked to in probably 6 months or something like that. What is going on, Katrier?
Not much. What's going on?
Everything is going on. Literally, in the past 6 months, I've gotten married, I bought a house. I mean, like, everything is different for me. I went from, like, living in, like, a horrible location to now... I think I've moved to a different apartment and then into a house in that span since I've talked to you. So it's
that
crazy,
like,
man.
A lifetime ago, doesn't it?
It really does. But I've been really excited about this. Today's a big day. We're competing against the Grammys and, much less importantly, the TNA pay-per-view. So this is a big
day.
I predict the Grammys will
do better just because Whitney Houston died. So. They'll get more ready.
Yeah, of course. Funny thing about all of that is today, Rob Feinstein, of all people, on Facebook, was talking about people making the Whitney Houston jokes, like, and how he thinks it's offensive. But this is the same guy that, like, literally, like, I don't know, whenever Joe Paterno died, within an hour of his death being announced, he was making jokes, of course. So, you know. That's just typical, you know, Rob Feinstein, but what can you do?
Yeah.
So this week, we are going to be discussing the Rhodes family. As many people know, I am a big fan of Cody Rhodes, but also Dusty and Goldust, Dustin Rhodes, the American Nightmare, if you will. I've been a fan of them for, I mean, every single one of them. I mean, they're just... To me, I like them so much more than I like other wrestling families. Like, I'm a big fan of, you know, the Harts, and you hear all the stuff about the Von Erichs, and trust me, I love Lacey Von Erich. But, you know, it's exciting. It's exciting that we're having the show because, you know, I'm such a fan. So let's get into it, man.
We just crowned new tag team champions in Magnus and Samoa Joe.
Okay. I forgot to mention that Katrier
hates money, so he bought the TNA pay-per-view.
Yes. He ordered the TNA pay-per-view. So, so literally, he's competing against us. So he's actually, like, not even going to be paying attention to this actual show. He's just going to be watching the TNA pay-per-view. He said it's just kind of background noise, but, you know, we'll see.
TNA's the kind of thing I don't need on to, you know, actually, you know, take it all in. I don't need to listen, so I can just watch every now and then, so whatever.
God, words cannot express, like, how great it is to be back and doing this. I was very excited about it, you know, doing this again. And then especially, like, you sent me a text a couple days ago, asked if we could just make it, like, a special road show. So,
yeah.
You know, all right.
I didn't know where we ended off like 8 months ago because I had to go download the show again to listen to the end of it. So,
yes.
With this one, I didn't have to do much prep. But.
Yeah. This is easy. All right. I'll go ahead and start with Dusty Rhodes, famous outfielder with the New York Giants, won the World Series in 1954.
No, we aren't
talking about that Dusty Rhodes, correct?
Is there another Dusty Rhodes? I don't know.
Yeah, there's a bunch. I was doing my research. I like to do research before I do these shows to kind of, like, you know, refresh my memory a little bit and, you know, just, like, little funny things that, like, you know, I look up YouTube clips and little funny things so I remember them so I don't misquote them, even though I probably will. But I went to, you know, Dusty Rhodes images just because – I don't know, it's funny. Like, he has a lot of hilarious pictures. And there's that Dusty Rhodes, and I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that. That old Dusty Rhodes, you know, the baseball player. He just recently passed away, too. So, you know, enough about that Dusty. Let's talk about the real Dusty Rhodes, Virgil Reynolds. Booker, and notice that I didn't say a great or good. He was just a booker. He had Dusty, the cool thing about Dusty, good ideas, like came up with, like, you know, genius ideas, and but it's just the way that they were applied wasn't always the greatest. As a wrestler though, charisma, like people that say that, you know, certain wrestlers don't have charisma. There's a lot of wrestlers today that don't, but Dusty was definitely one of them that does have charisma, and a lot of it too. So what do you think?
He's one of those guys that got so much out of not having much, you know, like. Physically, you know, like maybe skill wise, he got a lot more out of less, I guess I'd say.
Yes. I mean, I 100% agree with that, because there's a lot of times where his talent pool was pretty low, and could you say that he made stars? Do you think he made stars?
Oh, yeah. Let me think off the top of my head.
Well, okay, I have one. One person that he was making as a star that, you know, if it wasn't for the car accident, Magnum TA would have been a pretty big star, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
I think for WCW, NWA, I mean, I think he would have been around, because, I mean, if WWF would have gotten Magnum, which I don't think they ever would have, because he seems like a company guy, but you never know, because it's easy to be a company guy when the company is who's paying for your medical bills and stuff, but... I always thought that Magnum would have stayed around, maybe had a world title run, a couple of runs with Flair, or Sting. Who was booking when?
Was Sting? Dusty was booking when Sting went to the 45 minutes with Rick Flair at the first Clash of the Champions. You could say, I think you could maybe say Lex Luger. Had the big run with Flair. Just by association, Arn Anderson. Oh, no, that's I'm thinking about Rick Flair, but. Arn Anderson came up with Dusty was booking, so, I mean, you could maybe say Arn Anderson, too, in a little bit.
Road Warriors?
Road Warriors were pretty hot. They were already hot for Dusty, but, yeah.
I recently watched that match where the Road Warriors turned on Sting. It was kind of a little, like a little bit of, you know, off the point. But what a weird... turn that was. That was just such a weird thing of how they turned on him. Because, like, one of them was...
That was a six-man with the Varsity Club, right?
Varsity Club, yes. And it was just so weird how that happened, because, like, you know, I think it was Animal just getting killed the whole match. They were working on his leg and just getting destroyed. And then they turn on Sting for no reason.
Yeah, they wouldn't tag him in the whole match until the end.
Yes.
Until the end when he came in and then I think he put the scorpion on somebody and then they pulled him off and jumped him and did the best doomsday device of all time.
It was insane. It was absolutely insane. I cannot believe that.
Yeah, it was awesome. But the Road Warriors, Road Warriors were, I don't know, they were guys, I don't think you could have turned them heel at that time. They were just too popular. And it only took a few months for them to go back to being baby faces. So.
Yeah, because it didn't take.
It's like Steve Austin, Steve Austin heel, you know?
Yes. And one thing that Dusty would do is they would go on these, like, the Great American Bash Tours. Great American Bash Tours. And there's a thing in wrestling known as the Dusty Finish. And he would do that all the time. On those American Bash tours, because...
Well, not even American Bash tours. You do that yearly at every card, pretty much.
Yes, but I mean, like on those tours. Like, you know, even Ricky Morton or someone would come up with the title somehow. But it was so weird. The Dusty Finish, if, you know, everybody that's listening already knows, but if you don't, it's where someone will appear to win the title... But then after they'll change it, like even the next week or something like that, they'll say that the referee disqualified that person and the other person, the champion, was still the champion or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that would be too much. And it's one of those finishes that if you do it once, it looks stupid when you don't do it consistently. Because even after that,
yeah,
you have guys, like, win with outside interference or something, but no ref will come out to reverse the decision, and so which a ref would do in, like, 30 other matches. So, I know it got kind of be kind of stupid at times. It worked. Sometimes it worked and made for, like some good wrestling and stuff like that, but other times it was just, oh, it's just this shit again.
Yes, there's a lot of that. But the thing about Dusty was WWE saw him as a threat. I seriously think that's why they came up with the Virgil character, like a take on his name. I really think that they had to have thought of him as a threat. I mean, like, there's people that, you know, you ignore that aren't threats. You know, you don't care about them. But if you actually cared enough to make fun of them, you know,
yeah,
obviously they felt like he was enough to, you know, make fun of. So, you know, that's where Virgil came from.
And then the ultimate, would they bring him into the WWF, put the polka dots on him, and shit, he got that over. I thought that was a great
step. Yeah.
I didn't see that as embarrassing at all.
I thought it was tremendous. The skit
with the pizza man, the toilet man. That stuff was, I like that.
Yeah, yeah. That was after he jumped. But first, I just want to talk a little bit about War Games. Dusty came up with War Games.
Yeah, that's probably his greatest creation right there.
That is his greatest creation. For every War Games, there was a Battle Bowl, though. So we got to remember that.
I like the concept of Battle Bowl.
Like I said before, genius ideas just applied poorly. Because, like, you know, I don't give a shit if there's a match between, you know, Vader and Tom Zink versus, like, Joey Maggs and, you know, Keith Cole. Like, that's not a match that intrigues me. I could have done it so much better. I guess if it really was random, it wasn't a random draw. That's the thing. It really wasn't a random draw. It's hard to do a random draw with a fake sport, obviously. But I thought it would have been cool. But some of those matches were just so crazy that, you know, that they would come up with, I don't know.
Lucien Liger and Bill Kazmaier against DDP and Mike Graham.
Yes, that's a real match. I made mine up. That's real. That really happened. Oh, gosh. And I own that, sadly enough. And I'll probably watch it tonight. So
we should do a show where we take, like, a whole roster of WCW guys and just, like, randomly pull the names out of the hats and see what we come up with.
Yes.
For
yes,
a show.
Yes, we will. We're going to have PWF Battle Bowl. And it's going to be fantastic.
The shoot drawing. We're going to really pull the names out of a hat or something.
Those would be good matches, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That roster at the time was ridiculous. Oh, gosh. I loved it. You know, you can have
that first Battle Bowl where you got like 40 guys standing up there together on that stage.
Yes. Yes.
I would have liked the concept more if they had done it like every week on TV leading to the show. They would have picked names for matches because to give you something to buy. I mean, you don't know what you're getting if they do it on the show. You know, kind of silly.
And they're all in gear too, and they're two different rooms, and so that means they're all like they according, you know, if you're looking at this realistically, they're all friends based on whether or not random strangers like them or hate them. So if random strangers hate you, you're all going to get in this one room. Like Vader and Rick Rude are like, hey, we should be aligned because the people in the crowd do not like us. So we're friends now. We are friends. And then, like, you know, Robert Gibson, like, in 1991 is going to be friends with, you know, Ron Simmons. Can you imagine them two having a conversation? Like, about anything. What are they going to talk about, you know? But they're there, standing right next to each other, just sitting there like, yeah, we're ready to fight. You know, hopefully together, one of my friends. But, you know, if they find out that they have to team up with Oz, they're pissed off. They're like, no, I don't want to team up with Oz. The fans don't like him. They like Joey Maggs. That's who I want to team with. So it was just great. I guess I shouldn't marry Venable. It's actually a pretty good idea. That lethal lottery. All right. So he gets fired, or he leaves. I believe he got fired though.
They had the angle. Well, first they did an angle with Jim Cornette and he and the Midnight Express got jumped by Paul E. and the original Midnight Express. I don't know if you ever saw that angle.
I never did.
Oh, you never did?
No,
it's like one of the best ones they ever did. And Cornette got busted open by the telephone. He just first time he's ever bladed, and he just bleeding all over the place. And so that gets blood banned from TBS. And so it's like 2-3 weeks later, they do the thing where the Road Warriors spike Dusty in the eye and bust him open. Did you ever see that one?
Yes, I did see that one.
Yeah, and that's
the one
that got him fired
right
as the Booker. That's the one that got him fired as the Booker. So
then he goes to his greatest enemy, the WWE, or the WWF
at
the time. And the thing about that is, of course Vince is going to take him, even though they're enemies, because he's a star. Dusty Rhodes is a star.
Yeah.
But Vince will take him, but he's not gonna take him as like the charismatic, you know, American dream that he was. He wants to repackage him. But Dusty actually came up with the polka dot gimmick. I don't know why he wore the polka dots, but he has claimed that he came up with that. But his gimmick was that he was a common man, and he had this woman in the crowd, a heavy set African American woman named Sapphire, and she was a common woman, and she was his number one fan, and they would dance together, and they introduced him with vignettes of like him, you know, he's a son of a plumber. And
yeah, he was Dusty Rhodes, the taco man. He was the plumber,
garbage
the
man.
Pizza man.
Oh, he was a pizza man. Yeah, he was.
The butcher.
Which, you know, I don't see issues with any of those jobs, but, you know, they're just showing like, hey, he's an everyday guy.
Still one of the most disgusting fists I've ever seen when he was the toilet man. And so you got some poo-poo in your commode, and it's all stopped up. Terrible.
So, yeah, that all that was happening, and he gets in a couple of WWF feuds, feuds as a Macho
Man. Big Boss Man, Macho Man.
Yeah, Boss Man, Macho Man. But the thing I loved the most was his thing with Ted DiBiase. Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, always wanted to prove that he was, you know, money could buy. He could buy anything. So all of a sudden, Sapphire, sweet Sapphire, his girl, started getting these extravagant gifts, got a fur coat, you know, got something, I don't know, just a bunch of different stuff. And it was just, you know, good stuff. It was exciting. And all of a sudden, he's wrestling. He was with Macho Man, right?
Yeah, he was. I think it was like at SummerSlam. He was supposed to wrestle Macho Man, and Sapphire had been missing or something, right? He'd been
correct.
Missing all day, and then she showed up, and it was with the Million Dollar Man. So Dusty, you know, he couldn't concentrate on the match, so he lost the match, and.
Oh, that's what, and he ended up losing.
I'd say that Dusty Rhodes was in the second biggest match at WrestleMania 6 that year with him and Sapphire against Macho Man and Sherry.
Yeah, that was a big match. It was definitely a big match. Poor Macho Man was kind of like the back burner of that whole storyline, which is pretty depressing.
Yeah.
So then Sapphire leaves him. Sapphire leaves him, goes with Million Dollar Man, but then she disappears after that. She's gone. She's bought out.
Yeah.
And so then he brings in Dustin. And that's Dustin's, you know, way into wrestling is through the WWF. Him and
he was wrestling before. He was
not for the mainstream.
Oh yeah, I was just gonna say he was like right after he made his debut, like in Florida. Dusty brought him in the NWA, like in the end of 1988, and he was teaming with Kendall Windham at the Texas Broncos.
Texas Broncos. Wow. See, I didn't know that. But I'm talking about when I saw.
All right, so
and
Jimmy
then got
Jones
instantly jobbed out when Dusty got fired. So
of course he did. Of course that happened. So Dustin's there. They have a match at the Royal Rumble. It is.
Real quick before this, they did this awesome angle on Saturday Night's Main Event with Dusty Rhodes was wrestling the Macho Man, and Dustin was at ringside, really like in the front row, and DiBiase and Virgil bought the seats, like, of everybody sitting beside Dustin, so they could sit beside him, you know, kind of fuck with him for the whole match.
Yeah.
And then finally he gets tired of it, and I think he hits Virgil, and then DiBiase nailed him over the rail, and they took one of those wooden chairs, and they nailed him in the head with it, and he got busted open, and Dusty goes out of the ring, gets counted out, and he's laying over his son, and he's crying and all that. It was awesome.
I do remember that. I do remember that. I actually have that on DVD as well. That's good. I mean, like, that is the stuff wrestling needs. It is.
Yeah.
It is. Like, we need real emotion. The best thing that's been part of wrestling, I think, for, like the past year, is when Triple H took over for Vince, even though it all went to shit. But Vince showing real emotion, you know what I mean? He was so sad because, you know, this is his company. He loves this company, and it's all taken from him now. He is gone. And, like, I was like, oh, this is such good stuff. It's good stuff. CM Punk sitting down, you know, him sitting down just, you know, shooting the shit and saying, this is what I feel, this is what's going on. That is real stuff. That is real stuff that people can relate to. Not Kane, not John Cena. That stuff is bullshit.
We let people
this
do their own shit. People do their let people do their own shit. You know, like that's why this you know, I think that this Undertaker Triple H thing is gonna be so awesome because they're doing it all on their own, and probably CM Punk and Jericho too. They're probably doing that thing on their own.
Yep, it's gonna be good. It's gonna be good. So you know, Dusty and Dustin, they face Million Dollar Man.
I wanted to bring this up real quick.
Go ahead.
Go back to the Dusty stuff in the NWA. I was kind of, because, you know, I didn't know about newsletters and stuff like that and the way the wrestling really, I mean, I knew it wasn't on the level, but, I mean, you know, I didn't know the extent it didn't, that how wrestling worked. And, you know, it was like when the internet came about and I started getting in the newsletters, I was amazed at how hated Dusty Rhodes was, you know, for all that time. You know, about, you know, kind of like the newsletter writers and stuff like that for all the booking and stuff.
When you hear wrestlers talk about Dusty Rhodes, they either love or hate him. There's no real middle ground. There really isn't. They're like in Dave Meltzer, he's always, like, when you read those old observers, they're always so down on so many things. That's the difference between watching wrestling as a child and watching it like as an adult, like grown up and trying to watch it again. It shows those differences because Dave was watching those as an adult, and like there's things like Dusty Rhodes, of course, and he also used to hate Gorilla Monsoon. And when I was a kid, I loved Gorilla Monsoon. I never seen any issue with him. I thought he was great. As a matter of fact, still now I'm an adult, and I still love Gorilla Monsoon. I still think he's awesome. And his announcing style was, you know, it was different, but I'll take it over most of everything today. So I guess.
And even when some stuff was good back then, they'd say it was good, but always throw like a butt in there or something like that to, you know, just.
Yes.
Kind of still put something down. And. Yeah, I was just amazed, you know, Dusty was, gosh, people hated him so much. I mean, I don't know. I liked him as a booker. I thought he was very, very good. I mean, it didn't end well for him. But, you know, overall, I thought he was a really good booker.
Yes, yes. But another thing that we could say before we move on from Dusty, essentially, so they had that match, and then that's what – that was kind of his finishing up point was right there because Million Dollar Man went on to do his thing with Virgil. So he goes back to WCW and he does booking and all that stuff. And Dustin comes with him to WCW. But the whole thing that I loved Dusty for was an announcer. I loved Dusty Rhodes as an announcer. As our opening from the show, We were going to change it up every single week, but we decided not to because of how hilarious that is. Dusty Rhodes was great. In every show, you got something like that. Whether he's talking about plunder or, you know, speaking wrong when he's speaking about some sort of Mexican wrestler and, you know, pronouncing their name wrong. And I don't even think he did it on purpose. He's a buffoon. He didn't know. He's just a hillbilly. And that's what you loved about him. You know, you loved him. And the thing is, he actually brought out the best in both, to me, Bobby Heenan and Tony Schiavone when Bobby Heenan was in WCW. He brought out the best in them because they would always laugh. They seemed to be having such a great time. And that's why a lot of people think that Monsoon and Heenan are the best. But to me, my favorite announce team was Heenan, Schiavone, and Dusty Rhodes because I related to them. I would laugh with them because they were talking about absolutely nothing. You know, it would make no sense. It should be like the match between the Public Enemy and the Nasty Boys at Bash of the Beach 98 or 96. Bash of the Beach 1996 is so great just because of the commentary. Like, you could close your eyes, not watch the match, and you will enjoy the match just because it's so funny. They're just and it happens all the time, all the time. Like, oh God, it's just. Oh.
Yeah. Some people would say, well, you gotta be more serious, and it's like, okay, the Nasty Boys and Public Enemy are two goofball tag teams, and then when they're out there hitting each other with all that plunder and shit, that shit's funny. I mean,
yes.
You know, sorry. It just should make me laugh my ass off.
Yes, it always would. It always would.
They could also get very serious. I mean, just look at that same show with the NWO stuff and the Hulk Hogan turn. I mean, there was no comedy there.
There was not at all. There was not at all. And I love WCW. Love it. And we'll get to that once we get back to. Well, actually, we'll get to when we start talking about WCW again, our next show. You know, I'm sure we're not going to really enjoy that part of WCW. There's still some good we have to go through.
Yeah.
So, one good thing about Dusty, and we could go on this because Dusty as a father could say one thing. Like one thing you could say about him is he had two really, really talented sons. And you could say Stu Hart had talented kids too. And Owen Hart and Bret Hart both really good, really good. But
Stu had two talented kids. I don't know about the other ones.
I'm sorry?
I said Stu had two talented kids. I don't know about any of the other ones though.
Yes. I agree, but it just doesn't really.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. That's a whole different show. But Dustin Rhodes, my entire life as a wrestling fan has been part of it. He has been one of those people that has been around the entire time of me as a wrestling fan, because like when I started getting in, that's you know the 91 era of wrestling. I loved WCW, and Dustin Rhodes was there as the natural. And at the time, I didn't know anything about him. You know, I didn't know Dusty Rhodes. You know, I didn't know any of that stuff, really, until later. So Dustin Rhodes, to me, was just a guy that I liked. I liked him as a wrestler. He was good. He was, you know, he was tall and lanky, and he had good matches. And I always just thought of him as just, you know, such a good athlete. And one of the things I liked about him, you know, especially was his team with Barry Windham.
Yeah,
I love that team. They're one of the best teams ever. I mean, just their match quality and how they gelled together, and they seem to legitimately like each other. They really seemed like they were.
They probably coming up. You know, when Dustin was young, he probably was around Barry Windham all the time.
Yes, and they're such a good team. So that. They had that going on, and they had that storyline of I've mentioned it on here before. My favorite match was the Clash of Champions November 91. I remember it because my grandfather recorded it for me. Cut out the commercials of that clash. It was the one where Sting got attacked by Lex Luger. And then he stole an ambulance, which was fantastic. What a great show from top to bottom that
Yeah, that was like one of the best Clash of the Champions. I might put that like right up there with the first one.
Yes, and I loved Rick Steiner too. But in the main event was Rick Steiner and Lex Luger, because Lex Luger had already attacked Sting. But in the main event, he was defending against Rick Steiner, and Rick Steiner, and this is completely off subject, but Rick Steiner had done the belly-to-belly on Lex Luger, like, on just for no reason at all, like, when they were fighting in the ring one day, after a face-off. And he had the referee come down and pin, saying, like, hey, I can have this belt. So what a great show. But that Lex Luger attacked Sting and, like, hurt his leg. And so when Sting came back later in the show, we've already talked about this. But on that show it was Dustin Rhodes, and it was supposed to be Barry Windham defending the tag or going after the tag titles from the Enforcers, Larry Zbysko and Arn Anderson. And Larry Zbysko had this new nickname, the Cruncher, because they crunched Barry Windham's hand in a car, so he had a broken arm, so he could wrestle.
Yeah, it was at Halloween Havoc when they were, I think it was Dustin and Barry were pulling up to the building in like a Barry's sports car or something, and he's shaking Eric Bischoff's hand, and the Enforcers show up and just slammed his hand right in the door.
Yes, and that's probably 2 to 3 weeks before this show. So it was like Halloween Havoc, so it was right at Halloween of 1991. So maybe, you know, 3 weeks to a month earlier. So he obviously has a broken hand. So then Dustin's like, hey, I have a partner. And it ended up being Ricky Steamboat. And it was so great. It was so great because Arn Anderson was so great. He's yelling at the announcers like, not Ricky Steamboat. And that match, everything from the way that it all started and it built up to, hey, there's a replacement, you know, in the match, Ricky Steamboat and Dustin Rhodes. And then so Arn Anderson and Larry Zbysko, you know, dominating the match and Ricky Steamboat selling the entire time and Dustin Rhodes coming in and the Ricky Steamboat, you know, getting the win at the end, it was so great, and that was just Dustin Rhodes coming up. He was in the business for 5 years, not even, like, 3 years. He was there for, and so, like, when he was given the nickname The Natural, there could have been nothing better. There couldn't have been a better nickname. How great was he? I mean, how good was he? Did you like him?
I mean, he was like one of the, just like a Barry Windham, you know, like, probably two of the best natural athletes.
Fish to water.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so great. And then he went on and he, him and Barry broke up. Great match. Him and Barry lost the tag titles. They were tag champs. They were the unified tag champs. And he had lost the title to Ricky Steamboat and Shane Douglas. And it was because Ricky Steamboat was hurt and Dustin didn't want to beat him up.
I thought that was kind of silly, to be honest.
What, he didn't want to hit him while he was down?
Yeah, because, I mean, well, you're trying to win the match. Sorry the dude got hurt, but, you know, gotta take advantage of it. That's just the way I look at it.
So you were on Barry's side. But, I mean, a lot of people weren't. And, you know, you could see how, you know, well, they lost the match, and then Barry turned on him, so... That's the kind of one thing that kind of stunk is, like, there was no real blow-off to that, the Dustin Rhodes, Barry Windham thing. It just kind of went away.
Yeah, I think the only thing I remember was, I don't know, something happened. It was, like, a couple months later on Worldwide, and this was after, like, Barry Windham had broken Dustin's hand, and I think they had some kind of tag match, and Dustin waffled him with the cast and got the pin. And, yeah, they didn't do much with that feud because Barry went off to the NWA
title. Yeah,
because
they had a mystery tag team partner match. It was on Saturday night. It was Dustin, or Barry's partner was Vader, and Dustin's partner was Ron Simmons. It was pretty cool, but you know, whatever. So
one thing about Dustin that always used to, you know, bother. I always used to hate when people would like do the old, well, you know, he's only there because of his dad and shit like that. I said, well, he earned where he's at right
now.
Yeah,
he was,
you know?
Great. I mean, because in the same company, you saw Eric Watts, and Eric Watts was, you know, proof that wasn't the case. You know, like, or that, that, you know, Eric Watts was getting pushed based off of nothing but being his daddy's boy. And Dustin was, gosh, 10 levels.
I mean,
10
my favorite opponent,
levels.
Opponent for Dustin would probably be Steve Austin around that time. I don't think at all.
Oh, yeah. Well, he had some good matches with Rick Rude first before
yeah.
he got Steve Austin. So he had the series with Rick Rude. He won the title from Rick Rude. And then he lost to Steve Austin.
Oh, remember when Steve Austin and Dustin had that awesome match at that Halloween Havoc where they both got busted open and went to like
yes.
20 minutes? That was an awesome
yes.
match.
Yes. That was a great match, yes. So Steve Austin took the title from him. And then after that, Dustin was kind of in the background for a little while. He had a feud with, you know,
Bunkhouse Buck,
and then Arn Anderson turned on him, and then Dusty came back, and so it was like the whole Colonel Parker stud stable, and that, it was all good stuff. It was, and then there was the Blacktop Bully, and they had this feud, and it was just filler. That's all it really was. I mean, it was a lower card feud, and they were going to have it was called the King of the Road match, and they were fighting on the back of a semi for reasons unknown. So they did it because Blacktop Bully was a trucker, I guess, and a fan that apparently, you know, got noticed for some reason. So they had this match, and they bladed.
Even though he was smashed from Demolition and had been wrestling for like 20 years.
yes, but he was supposed to just be a fan. Yes, it was Barry Darso. And so they had their match on the back of the truck, and they both bladed. And it was a taped match, so it wasn't even live. But they aired it on the pay-per-view, and because they bladed and it was against the policy, they both got fired. Both of them got fired.
I think Mike Graham got fired, too.
Yeah,
I think everyone told him to do it.
Yeah, Mike Graham told him to do it, and not only did Dustin Rhodes get fired, but this is also the beginning of a rift between himself and his father right around this time. So he got fired, and because he was married to Terry Runnels, or, you know, whatever her name was originally, Terry Boatwright, I think. But, yeah, she, you know, he married her, and Dusty didn't like her. He thought she was just, you know, a vixen.
There was something, I think, on that Dusty Rhodes WWE DVD Dustin talked about. Dusty wanted, him and Dustin were supposed to go somewhere, but something was up with his wife, and so he couldn't go, and it was like the last time they talked for years, and I don't really know what was at the, you know, the heart of the whole thing, but I think it was pretty much Terry was the big thing between them.
Yeah, so that there was all that going on. And so he got fired, and so he goes to WWE. And the thing about that, when he debuted, I was like, I know who that is, but I couldn't put my finger on it. I couldn't figure out who it was. I don't know why. I guess it was the face paint. And even though he looked exactly the same, but just with face paint, I couldn't pick it out because I was a kid, you know. And I was like, God, who is that? And I read in a wrestling magazine, that's Dustin Rhodes. And I was like, oh, my God, that is Dustin Rhodes. And so he became the character of Gold Dust. And Gold Dust was such a wrestling-changing character. There was nothing like him. People could say what they want. They could say, oh, Gorgeous George, blah, 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 blah. No, nothing was like Dustin Rhodes' Gold Dust. There was nothing like it. Because they danced on how ambiguous he was. That's what it was. It was, they were teasing that he was a homosexual. And the whole thing about that was, I mean, it's nuts. It's crazy that even happened. And it was part of that. It's kind of a funny story because Razor Ramon, Scott Hall, didn't want to work with him because his kids, Scott Hall's kids, Scott Gator Hall, his kids were being made fun of at school, apparently, because of his character. And he had, like, there's one thing with the build-up of that feud. The build-up to a match at the Royal Rumble of 96, I think, where Goldust is just, he's beaten guys. I mean, he is. He beat Bam Bam. He beat Marty Jannetty. He beat, you know, just some lower-level dudes. But he comes out and he's sending stuff. Like, he's sending this guy to bring, like, chocolates and flowers to Razor Ramon. And, like, it's just like he's, like, Vince McMahon's like, he's playing mind games, you know? And then all of a sudden, like, Dustin, like, or Goldust, sorry, he unzips his little singlet thing, not singlet, but, you know, bodysuit, and there's a heart over his heart that says Razor. And, yeah. I mean, it was tremendous. It's so great because, like, he's trying to get into Razor's head, making Razor think that, you know, hey, you know, I don't want to just wrestle you. I want to be with you. And there's things where, like, in the match where, you know, he'd go behind him and, like, start rubbing his chest a little bit. Just little things like that. But this was 1995, 1996. There was nothing like this at the time. Nothing. And, like, there's a lot of, you know, homosexuality in wrestling. I mean, it's just known. There's a lot of gay people in wrestling, and it's just how it is. And, you know, but never on camera. It was never talked about. I mean, they made little jokes, you know, about, you know, people being gay, but they were like, they were jokes that were like, you know, inside jokes, like the
Terry Garvin School of Self-Defense or something like that.
Yes. So, I mean, little things like, but this is pushing it over the line. And there's a thing where, all right, Ahmed Johnson, okay? Ahmed Johnson loses a King of the Ring qualifying match because Owen Hart hit him in the back of the head with a cast and knocked him unconscious.
Yeah.
And so Ahmed Johnson is getting wheeled out on a stretcher because he's unconscious, you know? He's fine. He's breathing apparently, but because there's no, you know, oxygen mask. But Goldust comes up and kisses him and puts his mouth to mouth. He just kisses him. And so then Ahmed, being the giant homophobe, you know, freaks out. This man just kissed me. And he's, like, breaking down doors, looking for him. He wants to kill the guy. So then they wrestle at King of the Ring, and, of course, Goldust loses. Goldust loses that match. But, like, in the meantime, before that happened, there's a thing where he had this – he was supposed to wrestle Razor Ramon at WrestleMania – but because of the whole Razor not wanting to do it, and then also, you know, he gave us notice because he was going to WCW. He got, you know, supposedly caught with a drug test, or he failed a drug test, even though he probably had failed 30 drug tests. But now that they wanted to suspend him, so they put Piper in there. And they had this thing called a Hollywood Backlot Brawl. Ugh, fantastic. Because
it was awesome.
They had this, they started off fighting in the back lot, and then they showed footage from that O.J. Simpson chase. So
this started as the second match of WrestleMania and ended right before the main event.
Yes. So it went all, the whole show, it's going on. The whole entire show, this is going on. And Couture, God, it was great. Remember? I mean, it's wonderful. And then they get to the ring, and it's Piper. Piper's done some great things in his career. But, like, this was one of those things that really made me like Piper. And just because, like, he's wearing just jeans, and, like, I just thought he looked like such a badass in that match. Like, I'm going to whip his ass. And so then, for some reason, Piper strips him. And Goldust is wearing, like, kinky lingerie under his outfit for some reason. Like, and the, of course they did it just to be funny, you know, haha, so everybody could, you know, see Goldust showing his ass. But then after the parents groups and everybody was going after them, they decided, hey, we're going to turn him babyface.
Yeah.
So they turned him babyface because the story was Triple H was hitting on Marlena. And Goldust was mad about that. Hey, don't hit on Marlena. And so then you got to think right now, 2012, and it's a PG WWE. It's a different world. But at the time, it kind of was that. But things, they could get away with things. And one of those things was Jerry Lawler asking Goldust if he was a queer. That made TV. And it, I'm not talking about Monday Night Raw. That made superstars. Can you? I mean, think about this. Think about being 7 years old. I wasn't, but someone was. Think about being like 7 years old, 1989. You know, you were born in 1989 when this happened, okay? You know, how old are you now? 20? And you're watching this. Ask Goldust if he's a queer. I mean, that's crazy. But that made television. And that at the time, the television wasn't just, like, it had to be PG. You know, that was before they went, you know, that's before they went bad. That was before the Attitude Era. So this is still, like, when they were on that thin line, or it was, I guess it was kind of the start of that thin line. So,
worse than this is, later on, Lawler had, like, a King of the Ring qualifying match with Goldust, I think in, like, mid-97. And they did one of those inset promos with Lawler. And he said something like, I talked to Dusty Rhodes, and he's ashamed his son is running around like a flaming fag. Said it right there on live TV. It's awful.
Yeah, running around like a flaming fag. I mean, this made television. That's nuts. So Goldust is the babyface now. And he is with Marlena. And Marlena is revealed to be his lover or whatever at the time. And so all that happens. And then eventually he gets in a storyline with Brian Pillman a little bit later.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to have a match. Well, they have a match where Brian Pillman has to wear a dress if he loses this match. So he wears a dress. He's wearing the dress out every week. But then he's like, hey, how about if I beat you in this next match, I get Marlena for 30 days. And, okay, deal. Goldust loses. Marlena's with Brian Pillman. And
they actually did have a real relationship like years earlier.
Yes,
and,
yes.
She was like the makeup lady at CNN, you know, for a bunch of the Turner stuff. So that's how she and Dustin met.
The whole thing with Marlena in those videos is they made her, Brian Pillman, like, supposedly dressed her to look like a giant whore. You know, she was just supposed to look like Brian Pillman's whore, and she looked so uncomfortable. Her acting was actually pretty good in them. She's like, you know.
Yeah. Like, we're supposed
to think
they made it look like we're supposed to think that he's, like, raping her every night or something like that, you know?
So, then and the whole storyline is there's these videos, and Brian Pillman's like, he has these videos, you know? And he's, like, showing them the Goldust of, like, footage of them. And Brian Pillman was deep into drugs then. And you could tell, if you go back and look at those, you could really tell just, like, how fucked up he is. I mean, and these videos are crazy. They're crazy of, like, you know, hey, I'm going to go, like, you know, essentially, he's essentially telling Goldust, I'm fucking your wife, and there's nothing you can do about it, because I get her for, I want her in a wrestling match. So I have every, you know, ability to rape your wife over and over and over and over, you know, because, you know, via the rules of this wrestling match and this company we work for, that was the bet. So you lost, so I'm going to have sex with your wife. So you're going to have a match
with there's a rape stipulation on this match.
yes. So Bad Blood, October 97, it's going to be Dustin Rhodes against Brian Pillman. Or Goldust against Brian Pillman.
Actually, it was gonna be Dude Love against Brian Pillman on the pay per view, and the next night on Raw, 30 days was up. Goldust and Marlena were gonna renew their wedding vows.
Okay. Sorry. Brian Pillman died, so the storyline got dropped. So what they actually did was, because of this, for some reason, they turned Goldust heel, and he, like, was like, get out of here. They did this interview. They kind of did the same thing with Mick Foley, where Mick Foley came out and said, hey, I was never Mankind. I wasn't Cactus Jack. I was Dude Love. So they did the same thing, like a sit-down with Marlena and Dustin, and said that, like, you know, hey, I don't love you anymore. I don't know what you did. So he turned heel. But it was in the middle of him being in that feud against the Hearts at Survivor Series. Like, they were going to meet up again. And so he was aligned with Vader and someone else, or a couple other people, and he just left
his Blackman and Mark Mero.
And Mark Mero was a heel, too. It was so weird. They started doing storylines and then just, like, forgot about the ones they already had going. So they still just put them in the match for some reason.
Real quick, back to that thing where he turned on his wife. He did such an awesome job of just such an awesome mic work when he was like kicking her to the curb. It was so awesome. It almost made me feel uncomfortable watching it. He was so good at it.
Well, that's good. That's real. That it makes you feel something. And so then he became the artist formerly known as Goldust. And I don't know if he maybe had, like, a drug problem at this point or some sort of substance abuse, because this is when he really started, like gaining some weight. He was always a pretty skinny guy, but then he was starting to get those dusty genetics, and he was really packing on pounds. And so he's aligned with Luna. And it was kind of like a blank spot in his career. There was nothing really going on. And then he started coming out with these signs. And I remember one of the signs. He was like, he had these signs after he had burned the gold dust. He'd burned the gold dust costume, saying, I'm Dustin Rhodes. You know, I'm not doing this anymore. So he started getting these signs saying, he is coming. And I got excited because I thought it was friggin' Brockus is finally coming. They advertised it for 6 months, so I'm like, oh, you know, Dustin Rhodes knows about practice too. But apparently that wasn't it. So he becomes Goldust. That lasts very little amount of time. He has, like, a feud with Road Dogg.
And real quick, the whole I'm coming back thing, they were making it seem like he was this religious nut. He'd come out to the broadcast booth and asked Lawler and Jim Ross if they've accepted Jesus Christ as their savior or something like that.
Yes. And that was just...
That was weird.
I mean, stuff like that is just uncomfortable, you know? I don't like that stuff.
Yeah.
So he leaves, and he goes to WCW. He's back. Back to WCW. Him and his dad reconnect. They talk about it in the DVD, and it's great. It's fantastic. They're you know, father and son, they're reconnected, which is, you know, if you guys have a chance, look that up on YouTube, them talking about, like, not talking to each other and how that they, you know, reconnected. It's really, really, like, it's touching. That's the word. I told Mark Wren that there's going to be tears. I'm starting to get him thinking about that. So,
hey, real quick, we get a phone call, so I'm going to take it real quick.
Oh, go ahead.
Area code 631, who's this?
Yo, everybody, it is Sky Kid, and I just want to say to you guys, welcome back. It's been a long time since we had an episode, so it's great to have you back.
Oh, thanks a lot, man.
Oh, nothing. This has been a really fun show, hearing all these memories about Dusty and Dustin and all. I just wanted to talk a little bit about I think you just talked about Seven real quick.
We're about to, yeah. We're getting
yeah.
there.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'll let you guys talk, and I'll speak when you guys get to that.
All right, I'll go ahead and lead everybody into it. So especially these WCW vignettes of, like, and you see, like, it looks like a mix between Undertaker and Goldust looking through a child's window. And it was comfortable. Like, I don't know if he's about
Tom.
To fuck this kid.
He's a peeping Tom.
Yeah, and Yeah, so he is just sitting there, like, I don't know about you, but if I was trying to look through a kid's, like, a kid's window, I don't think I would paint my face white. And,
he
like,
was like,
you know.
It was like he was like Jerry Sandusky ahead of its time.
Yes. Oh, gosh. Feinstein. But we had this stuff going. So then finally he's going to make his debut. So, of course, you know, like every other normal WWE show, he comes out and fucking flies to the ring. He flies. I still to this day don't know how he did that. I
magic.
I honestly in my heart believe that Dustin Runnels has the ability to fly. He's done it one time just because he's that classy and just does not want to show off. So he flew to the ring and immediately dropped the gimmick. Said, this is stupid. I don't want to do this. Like, what? Contreras, Skykid, what did he say? I don't remember.
He said, would you people look at the crap that I'm wearing? He said, that was ridiculous.
And he said, they have me dress up as Uncle Fester to play Trick or Treat every night.
Yes, because he is...
He looks more like Powder, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think they said Uncle Fester because he was pretty heavy then, wasn't he? When he got to WWE, he was pretty big. And so then they made him the American Nightmare after that. You know, why?
But the
American Nightmare.
The one thing, though, I'm so pissed about is we never got to see the Seven's Pale Horse at ringside. Remember the Pale Horse in the promos?
I always wanted that to happen, and I mean, I didn't know where they were going with the gimmick.
I would like to see him let it play out a little bit, you know. Maybe it could have been good.
It's one of the most...
Of course, like immediately after that, he goes on WCW Live, which if you're going to go on a radio show, man, if you're going to go on and badmouth your work, like if I work for Microsoft, I'm not going to go on Microsoft Radio Network and say that these people are idiots, you know? I'm going to do a... So he goes on WCW Live and just talked bad about Vince Russo, which, you know, you can't blame him. But he did, and he called him like a midget. And hang on, there's an exact quote. I have it somewhere. No, a sawed-off midget and an asshole is what he called him. So then he got suspended for like a year, or almost a year. Because in April 2000, that's when the whole Vince Russo and Eric Bischoff thing were coming to fruition. They were starting their new thing, and he didn't want to work for them. He didn't want to do anything with that. And I was liking WCW at that point before they came back. I was into it, you know, Sid beating, like, Ron Harris for the world title. That was fine with me. But, or Don Harris, I don't know. One of them is currently still the WCW champion. I know that because he never lost it. And so then he comes back after that in WCW, and teams with Dusty for a while against, like, Jeff Jarrett and Flair.
Didn't they have, like...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, didn't they have, like, the Kiss My Ass match, like, on the next to last Nitro? Because I remember, didn't Dusty bring out, like, an actual donkey's ass for Flair to kiss?
Yeah. He had painted on the donkey, said Dusty's ass. He had painted that on the donkey.
And that's they wonder great. Why they went out of business. So what I want to talk about, though, because we're this might be a two-parter, Couture, because we're getting dangerously low on time, as Brian Alvarez would say. But what happened, he comes to Royal Rumble 2002, and after he accepted a contract buyout, and he lost a bunch of weight, and God, him and Mr. Perfect in that Royal Rumble were tremendous.
Oh, man.
They were so great. Kurt Hennig died, 9 years ago, right? It was 9 years ago, they said.
9 years ago, the other dad.
Yeah, boy. He was great. He was really, really good. And it like, you know, was a rebirth of his career. And the thing is, upcoming, hopefully they do the storyline with Cody, but Goldust in 2012 is still making himself relevant. He loves Twitter way too much. Way too much. That man has, like, literally 500,000 tweets. It's insane. He tweets every day about everything.
You know, at the end of ECW, him and Christian were probably the best performers on that show.
Yes, yes. And he's been plagued with injuries. There's just so much you could do and so much that's going on, you know, with Goldust that, you know, we could talk about. And I want to keep this going. I want to talk
Booker
about
Booker Dust.
Yeah, there's Booker Dust. See, Goldust formed a team with Booker T, and Booker T was kind of, as time, he was languishing like in the mid card. You know, he was borrowed from WCW. They thought he was going to be main eventer. He wasn't at first. He was a mid carder. But once he teamed up with Goldust, man, his stock with me in WWE, it rose. They were a great team. Their back and forth was really good. What do you think about it, Cher?
They took that team. That was like one of the best built tag team programs they'd had for like the last few years. I mean, they built them up for like 5 or 6 months, winning the tag team title. When they finally did it, people like went crazy for it because they told such a good story leading up to it. They were a great team.
Yep. And then you got Tourette's.
What, I was going to say something?
No, I said, and then he got Tourette's.
Oh, yeah.
He had the drive when he got thrown to the fuse box or something like that.
Yes. And that, to me, was like a bad time for him, his career. It was a bad time, and then he left again. He left WWE again, and he went to TNA. And when he was in TNA, he had like one match with Jeff Jarrett, and I believe he had a drug problem then.
Yeah,
we should probably talk about him. He had some substance abuse problems. And, you know, that stuff happens.
And also,
you know,
he had, like, some domestic violence charge or something like that.
Yes. What was his name in WCW? Or, not WCW, TNA.
Black Rain.
And the gimmick of Black Rain is, like, a mix between Seven, Gold, The Undertaker, and Abyss, maybe? I don't... It was such a weird character. I didn't like Black Rain. And he was really out of it then. And you,
he looked like he looked like a human hefty trash bag. That's what he looked like.
Yes. That was not good. But he was on drugs. So then he cleaned himself up and made his way back through the WWE. What was his first program back?
I know he did a program with Sheamus in ECW.
No, he came back. He came back much, like way earlier than that, man. He really did. I know he did. That was I'm trying to think of the year that he came back, because I remember Dusty got power back when he was going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, and he got brought into the WWE from TNA because Dusty was the booker of TNA for a year, and it's a really weird year.
Okay, guys, I'm on Wikipedia right now. It says on October 26th of 08, Rhodes returned to the WWE and turned face on Cyber Sunday under his Goldust persona as part of the three choices, the other being Rowdy Piper and Honky Tonk Man. The fans could choose to face Santino Marella for the IC title.
Oh, he wasn't he also up there? Gosh, what was it? Maybe the year before with Remember when Coach was bringing Gold Dust and Big Ben and Vader to like face the pizza
and
Vader
fell.
Vader,
that was years earlier though, guys. That was like in 2005, I think.
Yeah, that was for Taboo Tuesday.
Taboo Tuesday 95, because it was
05.
Yeah, it was 05 because that show was the Halloween show of Raw. It was a Halloween Raw.
Austin was going to be in the match, but when he found out he was going to lose to Coach, he didn't want to do it, and they changed it to Batista.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so...
If Vader's leaving the ring, and he just fell flat on his ass.
because he went to... The way it worked, he left WWE, he went to TNA, he came back then... Was in WWE for about a year. Went back to TNA. That's when he was Black Reign, and then he returned to Raw. Like I don't know, a couple years later, like 2009, 2008 maybe. And then he was in the Royal Rumble again. And you, as a matter of fact, you were right. He was on Raw for a very short period of time, but his first stuff was against Sheamus. Like he was having a feud with Sheamus.
Yeah.
And a fun fact: his debut match on ECW came in a loss to Zack Ryder.
Yes. That's right when Zack Ryder started the woo 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 character.
Yeah.
So, hey, you know that's good for Goldust, but now he's. All right, so you got to think there's the past of Dusty Rhodes, and he works for the WWE. He works down in Florida. He doesn't travel a lot anymore. We got the somewhat past and somewhat present of Dustin Rhodes, who's an agent still working for WWE. And next week, everybody. We're going to get to the future. And the future is who I see as one of the shining lights of the WWE, Cody Rhodes. And we will go through his career. And also, next week, everybody, Katrina and I are going to draw names for our Battle Bowl.
this is what, WWE Battle Bowl?
No, it's going to be Battle Bowl. That same roster from 1991 that Couture and I were discussing earlier, we're going to write them down. I will write them down, actually. And I'm going to draw names, I think. And it's going to be great. It's going to be a good time.
I'd rather watch that than the TNA pay-per-view.
All right. We will figure out what day we are doing it next week, because I know I am having – it might be late next week. Couture, would you be able to record it, like, late in the evening, or... We'll work it out. We will let everybody...
Later in the evening is better for me. And plus, like, next week I can't do it on Sunday anyway because WWE pay-per-view, so...
Yeah, that's why. I'm ordering the Elimination Chamber. So we'll figure out a day, you know, possibly Thursday night. I'm thinking either Thursday night or you know, we'll figure out a day. But we will be back. We're going to do the Cody Rhodes Show. That's what's going to be called, the Cody Rhodes Show. So, it's going to be great. And also, we're going to do our Battle Bowl. But, Katrera, I'm serious. It's good to be back, man. I really miss doing this, and I had a really good time. So, we're going to do that show, and then we're going to be back to business. We're going to be back to finishing WCW out. So, it'll be a good time, everybody.
Oh, that'll be fun.
That will be fun. Oh, gosh. Thank you so much for calling in, Sky Kid. I really appreciate
that,
man.
Oh, you're welcome, man. It's great to have you guys back.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. All right, Katrera, we will be back. Everybody pay attention to the board in the radio section, and I'll post it on my Facebook and stuff. So we will be doing all that, and we will be back soon. And everybody listening to this, also, add me on Facebook. I'm trying to get everybody to add me because I want to be one of those people that have like a billion friends. So when in real life I don't have any friends. I'm just joking. I have friends. But I want to be one of those people like, hey, everybody, look at all my Facebook friends. That proves that I'm very cool. Also, I collect wrestling toys. Sorry, ladies, I'm married. So, everybody I met on Facebook, it's facebook.com/houseguest. Be sure to listen to Over the Top Radio this Friday night. What are you guys going to be talking about, Couture?
I have no idea.
We're going to be talking about nothing. They're going to be talking about nothing. So that's going to be fun. You guys should talk about...
We didn't do a show this past Friday, so
everybody, before we go real fast, I want everybody to know the text that got this show to happen. Couture sent me a text that said, hey, let's do a show this Sunday. Ed doesn't love me anymore. I was like, what? And I'm lonely.
I said, let's do a show this weekend. I'm lonely and Ed won't cyber with me anymore.
Yes, yes. I died laughing and I was like, you know what? That sounds like a really, really good idea. So we did it. So we will be back next week. Also, this Wednesday night, I might do two podcasts this Wednesday. Maybe we'll work that out. This Wednesday night, I am doing a podcast with Oriental Heat, and we're going to be talking about toys. We haven't even named the show yet or anything, but I'll also post that on the board. So all that is going to happen this upcoming week. So everybody stay tuned, and thanks for listening. All right, take it easy.